This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. It's just gone past 7:35 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 18th of March. And in about half an hour, we're going to have the breakfast grill.
Yes, and Chuang is interrogating KH Lim, founder of Sin Heng Electric. Now, if you mention electrical goods, and Malaysians will likely bring up Sin Heng Electric. The brand is synonymous with electronic goods, having been around since 1989 and still remains popular today as a consumer electronic retail brand. Now, driving the business from day one is KH Lim, and he joins us on the breakfast grill to talk about his once upon a time half shop business and how staying relevant in the digital retail world earned the company more than RM 1.4 billion revenue. What a success story.
Yeah, I love these entrepreneurs who go all out and carve themselves a place in this world and grow business revenues of 1.4 billion. That's no small sum.
But not a postpreneur.
Yeah, so do tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. It's definitely going to be worth listening to. But in the meantime, we are talking about global vaccinations because it has been ramping up. But amidst these efforts, the AstraZeneca vaccine has come under the spotlight. So the vaccine has been suspended by various countries like Germany, France, Italy and Spain over reports of dangerous blood clots in some of their recipients.
However, the World Health Organization has also just come out with a statement saying AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine should continue to be administered as the benefits far outweigh the risk. In fact, Europe's health regulator has likewise insisted that the benefits of the AstraZeneca vaccine also outweigh the risk as well.
So in Malaysia, though, Khairi Jamaluddin, the Minister of Science, Technology and Innovation, has said that the country will proceed with the purchase of this vaccine. But for some insight on this, we're speaking this morning to Benjamin Cowling, Professor of Infectious Disease Epidemiology, University of Hong Kong. Good morning, Benjamin. Now, the halt of the AstraZeneca vaccine has thrown a wrench into the vaccination efforts in countries like Germany and Italy. So how will a pause like this affect the rollout of the vaccines?
Good morning. It may just turn out to be a short-term pause while they figure out what exactly has been going on. There have been a handful of these reported blood clots. It's a special type of blood clot, not a common type of blood clot. And there seems to be a few more than they might have expected, but it's really a very small number among millions of people who've received that vaccine in Europe. So even if it's determined that it is linked to the vaccine, that would still be one or two or three in a million chance of getting that kind of reaction. And if they can figure out who those people were that had that reaction, maybe they could give some finer advice. For example, if you're this kind of person, then be a little bit more careful. And then that would reduce the risk even further. So my expectation is it would just be a short pause in this case.
All right. So how much of the total COVID-19 vaccines are made by AstraZeneca?
I think it's going to end up being about a quarter of all the vaccines that are used this year. But it obviously depends on how different companies scale up their manufacturing. So far, I think hundreds of millions of vaccines have been administered around the world. And AstraZeneca's a little bit behind compared to BioNTech and some of the mainland Chinese vaccines. But because of the cost and because it's going to be produced in many different parts of the world, AstraZeneca is going to catch up and may even end up being one of the most commonly used among all the COVID vaccines.
That's right. Quarter is large. Any specific markets that are more susceptible or exposed to the supply chain of AstraZeneca?
So because of the price difference, where AstraZeneca is only priced, I think, $4 per dose, it's quite substantially cheaper than pretty much all the other COVID vaccines. So that means a lot of parts of the world that are really looking for cheaper vaccines or a part of the WHO COVAX program to get vaccines to lower income countries, they're going to really rely just on the AstraZeneca vaccine, whereas middle-income, higher-income countries are going to have a range of vaccines available for their populations, most like you do in Malaysia.
And I just want to understand this a little bit clearer. Now, I understand when it comes to the difference between causation and correlation, right, with regards to the people who are suffering from the blood clots. But the point is, are you saying that at the end of the day, these people who have suffered some side effects, it's pretty normal and we shouldn't kind of overreact to the data?
No, it's not normal, and we prefer these did not happen. So when you receive a vaccine, you anticipate you might have some mild reaction to the vaccine. That's kind of accepted, that your arm might be sore. Maybe you get a fever. Maybe you won't feel so good the following day, but then you'll be better within a day or two. And we also understand that on occasion, some people can have stronger reaction to the vaccine, maybe allergic reactions. And we accept that as a risk. The same way that when you go to hospital for a surgery, you need to say, I accept that with the general anesthetic, there's some risk, but I'll still go through with the procedure because I'm willing to accept those risks. So with vaccines, that the really critical thing is that we understand the risks and that people are willing to accept that risk, whether it's a 1 in a million chance of getting a blood clot or 1 in 100,000 chance of having some other allergic reaction. We just have to have an idea that that's really what the level of risk is and that it's uncommon. And we don't like it when something comes up that we haven't expected, like these particular blood clots that are being reported now that haven't been reported with the other vaccines.
Now, meanwhile, a temporary suspension is, I guess, meant to be precautionary in nature. But amidst concerns of vaccine hesitancy, I mean, could this move actually halt jeopardize the trust in the AstraZeneca vaccine or vaccines in general?
I think it depends now on how it's handled. I'm waiting for a report probably in 12 or 18 hours time from the European Medicines Agency with more details on these very small number of blood clots in AstraZeneca vaccine recipients. And in time, there may be other reports of other kinds of events with the other vaccines. We'll have to see. And each time it's really important that all the information is put out very, very quickly and clearly. And as you mentioned, the difference between correlation and causation, can we establish whether there really is an unusual increase in the rates of whatever event we're talking about? If it's blood clots, you know, did we expect it was 1 in a million and it turned out it was 2 or 3 in a million? That's still very, very rare.
You know, I think this is where Malaysians are confused. In Malaysia, we've been told that we will continue on with the AstraZeneca. So we are seeing very differing and varied responses with countries all around the world. Now, you talk about speed of getting the report out fast. Are there ways to make sure we kind of have a more common approach in approving or viewing these vaccines?
I think ultimately that's going to be up to each individual country. But I would say that in Malaysia, I know you're having quite a lot of COVID cases around in the community now. And people that get the AstraZeneca vaccine now, that could save people's lives. So if you were to pause the program, that would end up maybe not saving some people's lives because of the pause. So I can understand the motivation to keep going with the vaccination program because the vaccines are having a real, real benefit. You look at Israel, look at some European countries, US, vaccines are saving lives already.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Benjamin Cowling, Professor of Infectious Diseases at the University of Hong Kong, giving us his views, reminding us that the benefits of any vaccine outweigh the deaths that might happen if
That's
we don't
right.
take the vaccines. And yes, I think transparency needs to be there with regards to the data in terms of the people who are facing some side effects and who have perhaps died from the blood clots. But would they have died either way? You know, that's the big question.
Yeah, I think the correlation, causation.
Yeah, the correlation and causation kind of question.
Yeah.
So I think we'll be covering this story very, very closely. But in the meantime, vaccination drives have to continue because otherwise we will not achieve that herd immunity and we have to protect especially the vulnerable.
The challenge you have are the poorer developing countries, right? Where unlike us in the developed or high middle income, we have built a diversification strategy. We have the funds to buy the more expensive vaccines like Pfizer. And as Ben was saying, the biggest issue with the AstraZeneca disruption is really the fact that it's so cheap. It's meant to help widen the vaccination distribution for the poorer countries. And if this halts, I think it has deeper repercussions purely from just only specific markets.
Yeah, because the AstraZeneca vaccine, they are one company that has actually made a promise to actually deliver the first batches at least at cost. So it is cheaper than the rest of the vaccine and it's relatively easy to store, doesn't require, you know, crazy kind of unusual temperatures. So these two factors make it important, especially for rollout plans globally. So of course, there are concerns that, you know, fears about the handling of the blood clot reports will impact vaccine building confidence. And that's something that has to be addressed, because over time, we do need to reduce the level of vaccine hesitancy. People have to say, okay, this is good for me. I need to take this. Otherwise, my life can't get back to normal. And as a society, we can't function, because no one is safe until everyone is vaccinated, or at least most of us are vaccinated.
I think sometimes you're also penalized if you do all this excessive reporting or transparent reporting. And it should comfort us that there are all these analysis coming out for people to investigate. And
we are transparent about it. There's discussion about it.
And I think it's healthy. The problem is you don't want to end up scaring other manufacturers to hide data and not reveal data, because then we can't develop and create right responses.
I think also that people should not be fixated on just one report and then focus on that. Because when you look at science or you look at data, you need multi-various reports, and then you come to a conclusion rather than just focusing on one piece of news. I think that's very critical to remember. But up next, we'll be discussing the Permakasa initiatives with Dr. Juwita Mohamad of the Institute of Strategic and International Studies Malaysia. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.